I'm sure.
They love tourists. You're here to collect CVs. You're not on the agenda.
I am on the agenda, but I brought my CVs.
Well, you brought your CVs. Okay, my mistake.
This one dropped. It did. One time. Is it going to go over to meet him in a minute?
Yes, please.
I'm not seeing you display.
It shows the camera on my side.
Does it?
Yes.
Are you seeing anybody else on the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Andrew, yourself, Tara.
Okay. And the camera's turned on?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you going to pick up Karen?
Becky, you're not muted, just FYI.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Assistant Attorney General Pulver. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be here.
Pick something up.
Did it drop again?
We don't have to have it, so let's go ahead and get ready to start it. Brian, you can do roll call.
Madam Chair, I think we're about ready to get rolling here if you are. Okay.
Oh. Good morning. Welcome to the Board of Respiratory Care Examiners for our meeting on Thursday, February 20th, 2025, and we are starting at 9:02 a.m. Just a reminder that we are in an area where we get cell service, so please make sure your phones are off or on vibrate or something quiet. We ask that when you come up to the table, we will be respectful of your time and not speak over you. We ask the same for you. It appears some of the board members are going to be online, so we'll do an introduction for the board members that are here, and then we'll go online. My name is Tracy Kagan, and I am chair of the board.
Alan Crawford, vice chair.
And then do you want to do kind of a roll call with the people online?
Yes. Member Coda.
I'm Kimberly Coda.
Dr. Easley.
She's absent.
Member Brimhall.
Present.
Member Ledley.
Also absent.
And Member Maryland.
Present.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
And then an introduction for those still in the boardroom here.
Where do you want to start?
Sir.
Brian, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Brian. I am a program and project specialist for the respiratory board.
Coffee Cassier, licensing administrator. Jocelyn Stone, administrative assistant.
Jack Confer, Executive Director.
Charlie Holder, Assistant Attorney General, Legal Advisor to the Board.
Roberto Pulver, Independent Advisor, Assistant Attorney General.
All right. If you are here to collect CEUs today, you would have signed in on a sheet. At the end of the meeting, before we adjourn, we'll call roll call to make sure you guys are still here and then you will get your CEUs. So we will start with our roll call. We have a declaration of conflict of interest. If there is one member who has any kind of conflict with anything going on today. Okay. And we will move to the declaration of recusal, which is item number 4. Are there any board members who will recuse themselves from any of the cases today? Okay. We'll move on to item number 5. Item number 5 is call to the public. Call to the public is where anyone sitting in the audience or online would have 5 minutes to address the board or whatever it is they want to talk about. Having to do with respiratory care, of course. Knowing that we cannot have conversation with you back and forth because it is not been on the agenda. Anyone have anything to say? No? Okay. All right, we're moving on to item 6, which is review discussion and possible action on approval of minutes. So we're looking to approve the minutes, the regular board member, the regular board meeting of January 16th, and the executive session of January 16th, 2025.
Move so to approve.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second for approval of the minutes. Are we doing everything by roll call vote?
Yeah.
Okay. Member Brimholt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Crawford?
Aye.
Chairman Kagan?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
And Member Maryland?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passed unanimously and the minutes have been approved. We will move on to item number 7, review discussion and possible action. Oh, formal administration. Do we have a time or do we do it now?
It's set for 9:30, Madam Chair. We're going to have to wait until at least then. Yeah. I don't know if Assistant Attorney General Hover has anything he wants to say right now.
Are we expecting Mr. Holman to be here?
I am not expecting him. I have not gotten any communication, but he's been appropriately noticed.
Okay. And so shall we wait until 9:30 so it's his time?
Yes.
Okay. Then we will skip item number 7 right now and we'll move to item 8, which is review discussion and possible action on proposed consent agenda for summary suspension. And the board will call the case of Deborah Gutierrez, case 2023-RCE-0054.
Is RCP Gutierrez here? Page number, 65. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number 2023-RCE-0053. I have put this particular consent agreement for summary suspension of a license on the agenda for ratification by the board. Brief history of this particular case. RCP Gutierrez holds license number 7190. She was had signed a rehabilitation agreement, a confidential rehabilitation agreement, about a year ago, was successfully complying with that agreement up until about 2 months ago. We received a report from her employer that there were some boundary issues, disruptive behavior at work. I ordered a drug test. An unannounced drug test, and she tested positive for one of her drugs of choice, which was alcohol. The ETG test was positive, and I had a discussion with her, asked her if she would, because she violated the rehab agreement, if she would sign the consent agreement for summary suspension of the license. She did so, and that is what is before you today to review and vote on, if you agree with the summary suspension.
Thank you. And Ms. Gutierrez is not here for any questions. So, board members, do you have comments, thoughts?
Vice Chairman Crawford, I would agree with the summary suspension. My question would be is she agreeable to continue a probationary order as well?
Madam Chair, Vice Chairman Crawford, my conversations with her at this particular time were that, number one, I wanted her to stop working because she violated the agreement. Number two, I think that led to a little soul searching on her behalf. The last conversation I had with her was that she was planning on retiring from the industry and that she does not wish to continue on a probationary agreement at this time.
And I would motion that we summarily suspend as already ordered and signed under order 13.
Okay, so we have a motion for the summary suspension. Do we have a second?
I have a second. This is Becky.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Member Brimholt.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Koda.
Aye.
And Member Maryland.
Aye.
I have a question before we move on. Actually, my question might be more appropriate for my question would be is now that we have summarily suspended this license, do we need to create a new do we need to move this towards fraudation?
That's what we're discussing right now, Vice Chairman Crawford. Okay. Do you want to tell or you want me to? Yeah, that's fine.
Yes. What I would recommend is that since this summer suspension has been voted on and accepted by the board, there will be a hearing for her within a reasonable time. I would also recommend that the board vote this matter to formal hearing for possible revocation of the license. So that we can conduct both of those at the same time and get the matter resolved in the right way.
Thank you. I'll make a motion that we agendize for possible revocation of licensure.
I second.
In a formal hearing.
Okay, so we have a motion to move this to a formal hearing. I know you had a second, but I want to make sure you understood that it's going to a formal hearing for possible.
Yes.
Okay. We have a motion and a second for going to a formal hearing for possible revocation. Is there any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Member Brimholt.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Koda.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. Wonderful. All right, so moving on to the next item, which is item 9, review, discussion, and possible action on application for licensure. And the board will call the case of Andrew Ramirez, case 2024-RCE-0279. Mr. Ramirez, are you here?
Yes, ma'am, present.
Excellent. Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is an application for licensure that we had reviewed at a prior meeting. And there was questions about some of the information that had been reported by the applicant and a discrepancy in some of those statements to the board. The board voted to invite the applicants to this meeting, and RCP Ramirez is present and available to, I think, give a little further clarification to the arrest, the information that we got, which was a dismissal. And maybe he can also clarify some of the information that he reported to us on his application and the subsequent information.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ramirez, we're going to pass it over to you to kind of give us some insight
into what's going on here. Sure. So I think around 2022, was it? I was arrested for a DUI. The original pulling over was for speeding. I breathalyzed and I was arrested for under the influence. I lawyered up, and seeing as how it was my first offense for a DUI for blowing with alcohol in my system, The state agreed to do a probationary period, and at the end, if I were to complete it, they would dismiss the charges, which I completed, and I believe I sent all the documents pertaining to that to Arizona.
Okay, anything further?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, that's it for now. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. But that's just an over, that's just a general statement.
Okay, board members?
Mr. Ramirez, I appreciate you coming forward and being here today. My only inquiry of, and really it's a concern that I have, is that the application specifically asks, have you ever been arrested? And you can no to that. So if I'm understanding you correctly, you were arrested. You just were not charged.
Correct, yes.
So can you give me some hope that you won't falsify a record in the future?
Yes. So I was waiting for you guys to bring it up as well. So earlier, like in another year prior, I was arrested but never convicted. In that scenario, I was in Orlando and I was taking a buddy of mine home. I was just tired and I got pulled over, and they had reasonable suspicion to arrest me for a DUI as well. But in this case, I blew zero, and they also asked me to take a urine sample. And so I also got a lawyer for that. And after a couple months, the urine sample came back negative. So they also dismissed those charges. So in that instance, there is no, how do you say, test results that would indicate drug under influence. The second one, yes, and that's where the probationary deal was made. After I completed that, that was dismissed as well. But for the first one, there's no probation, there's no deal. They just simply just dropped the charges just because there's no evidence for the case.
Mr. Ramirez, quick question.
Yes.
Have you been arrested twice for a possible DUI?
Correct.
Why was that not disclosed on your application when you submitted to this board?
The reason why I didn't was because the second one was in the website. It said if you had to make a plea deal. So you don't necessarily have to be convicted. But I did understand from what I read that if you did have to make a plea deal for a dismissal of charges, you did have to disclose that. But from my understanding, the first one didn't fall under that category.
Thank you.
On the application, Jack, does the question read, have you ever been arrested, convicted, or whatever?
Yeah, the question, do you want me to get you the exact wording?
All right, sorry, are you addressing it to me?
No, she's applicant Ramirez. She's asking staff a question.
I know I've seen it many times. I just want to hear the exact verbiage on it.
And I'm getting my rule book out because I do not want to misspeak, so bear with me here a second. So I am looking at, I'm going to give you the rule site. So it's AACR 445-201, subsection 17. It says, except for minor traffic violation, a statement whether the applicant has ever been convicted of, pled no contest, no contendere to, entered into any agreement concerning an arrest or charge, even if the agreement resulted in a dismissal or expungement of the record, or has an outstanding arrest or charge for any violation of any law of any state of the United States or a foreign country? And if the answer is yes, a complete explanation, including place, date, and important documentation, such as a court order or plea agreement.
Okay. So did you hear that? Did you hear that, Mr. Ramirez?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Do you still feel like the answer to that should have been no?
I do now, yes. In all fairness, I was applying to several states. I know they differ slightly, but yes, I understand now, yeah. I looked back and I reread it, so I understand now, yes.
Madam Chair, can I ask just two quick questions? Applicant Ramirez, thank you for joining us today. The context and the information you're providing is very valuable for the board to review this. Mm-hmm. Can you tell the board the rehabilitation part of the agreement? Did you have to go to classes? Did, you know, how many hours? What kind of subject areas did you have to comply with to get the dismissal that you're referencing?
Yes, absolutely. So the probation, it entailed 1 year of being a probation officer, just checking in every month, going in person. I don't remember the exact how many months, but for a set amount of months as well, I had to use an interlock system in my car that would require me to blow into the machine to verify that I wasn't under the influence while driving. The other part was voluntary service. I decided to do animal shelter for a couple months as well. There was also a DUI class that I took as well. And obviously this was all turned into the probation officer at the end of the year probation. What else?
Was there any BFT testing done?
BFT, what is that? Sorry.
Bodily fluid testing. Was there any urine drops?
Oh, yes, there is. That was part of what I would have to do when I would go in person to be the probation officer. And so that part was for a whole year after the incident.
Perfect.
I have to say, it kind of blows my mind that having gone through all of that, you felt like no was the correct answer to that question.
I have a follow-up, too, if you don't mind. Has this come up in any of your other applications for respiratory licenses in any other states?
I disclosed the second incident because in the other states, they say that, from what I understand, no arrest, but a plea deal, even if there's no conviction, has to be disclosed. So for right now in Massachusetts, I did disclose, the second incident because that's the one where I actually had to, make a plea deal and whatnot. For the first one, it was simply just dropped because of lack of evidence. So in other states, I disclosed it immediately, which is what I did for this one as well. To clarify, for Arizona, I disclosed the plea deal, but not the first one, if that makes sense. Because there's no deal made, there's no conviction. It was just dropped charges for lack of evidence.
Thank you for that answer. The board chair had a question and asked if you are still drinking at this time.
No, I'm not.
Just a clarifying question, because what I just heard him say was that he disclosed the plea deal, but not the first arrest.
Correct.
Materials, it says applicant Ramirez did not disclose either an arrest conviction. On the application that Mr. Ramirez submitted, did he disclose any?
My understanding is you answered no to that question on your application, applicant Ramirez. Is that your understanding?
No, I did. Okay, I see where you're asking now. No, I did disclose in the actual application. I did disclose about the second arrest, I even sent documents pertaining to that. In fact, I can actually look those up now in my email. One sec.
Kat, can you pull his application up, please? And did he say yes or no to the question?
Question of admitting minor traffic violation. It says yes.
So he did disclose one of them, but not both of them.
Correct.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. And did he submit his explanation with that? Because it says to submit an explanation if he said yes.
That is correct.
There's a
written explanation.
Okay. So we got disclosure of one arrest, not the other.
Okay. And then when he did his fingerprint background check, we got the two hits, and that's when the questioning started, and that's how we ended up here.
Exactly. Yes. Yep. Yes. That's yeah.
Thank you.
For the clarification. Appreciate it. The point that I was trying to make, applicant Ramirez, is I'm sitting here deciding whether or not you are an ethical practitioner to go out on patients in the state of Arizona. So hence my concern that if you are not forthcoming with addressing a question accurately, a question about the practice in which you will perform. However, I do understand that I appreciate you disclosed the plea deal. And I hope that you understand moving forward in the future to read the question all the way to the period that clearly says if you've ever been arrested, you disclose. So I appreciate that you're here today. Thank you for your comments. I'm going to
yes,
make
sir.
Sure that we issue applicant Ramirez's license.
Okay, so we have a motion to grant licensure. Do we have a second? I'll second it. So we have a motion and a second for licensure for applicant Ramirez. Do we have any further discussion? Okay, we'll go to a roll call vote.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Congratulations, Mr. Ramirez. You have a license in the state of Arizona once it's processed.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your time, all of you. I appreciate thank you. It. You guys take care.
Have a good one.
Okay. We'll thank you.
The case of Mark Wilson, case 2025-RCE-0009. Mark Wilson, are you here in the room or on the phone?
Yes. Madam Chair, members of the board, I think we'll have to look at this a little closer, but I think we're asking him for more information. He's not providing it to us, so therefore he will probably end up timing out because he has not provided a complete application to us. And if you recall, the reason that you're reviewing this one or staff brought it to the board was that he has, I believe, two disciplinary actions in the state of California. One was rather recent from the respiratory board, and I think that's what caused some discussion at the last meeting.
So here's my question to the board staff. Do we just let this expire? Or does the board need to take an action on this?
I think we allow staff to review it and see if the time frame does toll. I don't believe if he did decide to and I'm using my attorney license now, which I don't have. I think if the board makes a motion to deny it, you're going to have a mandatory hearing for the denial. But I'm not even sure your facts rise to the level of denial at this point in time because we haven't gotten all the information from the applicant. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So if you were to make a motion, I would say you might want to do the motion to table to see if we get more information from him. And that gives us some time to study the overall time frame to see if the
if the application automatically closes.
Right. We'll either get information from him or we'll administer it to close.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I feel like anything.
Let it go. Do we need to make a motion to table it, or do we just let this one go?
I don't think so. Charlie, do you have any?
Well, it is on the agenda, and it would be cleaner just to.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Then I'll make a motion that we table this pending further board
study. We have a motion and a second for tabling. Oh, I'm sorry. We don't have a second. We have a motion. Does anyone have a second?
Second. This is Becky.
And we have a motion and a second for table. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crowther.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Coda.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. We're going to go back to item number 7 because the time is 9:29 and that hearing is set for 9:30. So we're looking at review, discussion, and possible action on a formal administrative hearing. And the board will call the case of Eric Coleman, case 2023-RCE-0065.
I do have 9:30.
Okay. Assistant Attorney General Pulver, my question for you is are we eligible to move to a motion to convene, considering that the RCP woman has been notified of this hearing today?
The answer is yes, because he's made no effort as required in the complaint to him to respond to the complaint. And as the complaint has notified him, failure to do so can be considered being deemed. And absolutely, the answer is yes. My one caveat, though, is just to have the state put down the various attempts. So if he comes back, this particular applicant or licensee Holman, and says, I wasn't given proper notice, at least you have a record of all the various times he's been contacted or attempts to contact, he's required to provide the board his address of record. So that'd be my only advice, just to go from there. And then if you want to deem, then go ahead and deem.
Thank you. And we do have evidence.
Okay. So we'll kind of move on here. So am I going
with
the dean script?
Yes. Can I jump in just real quick? Assistant Attorney General Hover, he might want to just run the case. It's probably a 10-minute hearing where all that information that Mr. Pulver described is in the documents. But How do you want to proceed as the prosecutor of the case?
It is the board's preference. What I could offer to address the specific concern is make a quick evidentiary foundation for the exhibits that I have proffered, ask that those be admitted. Those exhibits contain the actual notices and proofs of service that were made on Mr. Holman. That would then create that record if there's any challenge by him that he did not receive notice of today's hearing or any of the previous actions. You could then move ahead with your consideration of how you want to handle this matter, either revocation or something else, having made that foundational evidentiary offer.
So you have two different scripts, Madam Chair, members of the board. Neither one of them take into account what we're doing today.
Yeah.
My suggestion is to use the regular hearing script. We'll run through the beginning of that. And then if you decide to go to the deem after the state presents their case, you can just, yeah.
Okay.
That's my best suggestion.
Okay. All right. This is the date, time, and place for the matter dealing with Eric Holman, case 2023-RTE-0065, is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Board of Respiratory Care Centers. The subject of this hearing is set forth in the complaint and notice of hearing. To make formal administrative hearing to determine if there have been violations of the board's statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Board members who are present, we need to do a roll call introduction.
Chairman Kagan.
Present.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Present.
Member Cota.
Present.
Member Brimhall.
Present.
Member Marilyn.
Present.
Thank you. But the records show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint and notice of hearing, the respondent's answer if one was filed, and all pleadings of record. Will the parties please present themselves? And we don't think Mr. Holman is either here nor online. Is that correct? Okay. Let's see what that's all. Is this going to let me to proceed?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules and evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given to the evidence received. In a disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case, then the respondent shall present their case. After it hears the evidence and the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or take appropriate disciplinary action. Okay, does the state wish to make an opening statement?
Not at this time. We'd waive opening statement.
Okay. Does the state have a witness to call?
Yes. Is Jack Comfort?
Okay. I'm just waiting. Yes, you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. Okay, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Conford. Could you state your full name and current occupation for the record?
Yes, my name is John Confer. I go by Jack. I'm the executive director for the Respiratory Care Board.
Mr. Confer, in your position as executive director, are you familiar with the matter involving Eric Holman?
Yes, I am.
Can you briefly describe your participation in the investigation of that matter?
Yes, I basically filed this case from the initial report. I was responsible for sending out the initial complaint notification letter, collecting the responses that were provided at that time by RCP Holman. In addition, we followed up with an interim order that we sent. I was responsible for that, responsible for following up with the professional that was doing that particular assessment. And then I'm also the one that investigated and chatted with RCP Holman on at least two occasions after the initial complaint notification.
As part of your duties in investigating this matter, did you gather documents and create a file specifically related to the allegations against Mr. Holman?
That is correct. Everything from the initial notification to email documentation of that notification, to board meeting notices. All those items were documented with certified receipts, emails, and prepared and put into an investigative file for retention by the board.
And is that file maintained by the board as a part of its regular duties?
Yes, it is.
Are you familiar with the contents of that file?
I am.
Are you familiar with the State's Exhibits 1 through 9.
Yes.
Are Exhibits 1 through 9 true and correct copies of documents maintained in your investigative file as you have described?
Yes.
President Kagan moves to enter into evidence Exhibits 1 through 9 as testified to by.
So moved.
Mr. Confer, directing your attention to exhibit number one, is that the complaint and notice of administrative hearing and summary suspension expedited hearing that we are here on today?
Yes.
Further directing your attention to exhibit number one, was that document sent by certified mail to Mr. Holman?
Yes, it was.
And you have a receipt from USPS Tracking Service of that particular document on Mr. Holman?
I do.
And can you describe the date of delivery?
Yes, this particular certified mail receipt was delivered to the address of record on December 26th of 2024 at 2:21 p.m.
And the address on that proof of receipt, the address which Mr. Holman had maintained with the board?
Yes, I would call that his address of record, which is he is required to maintain with the board for official notifications.
Was a copy of the complaint and notice of hearing also sent via U.S. Mail first class?
Yes.
Was that returned to the board?
It was not.
Was the complaint also sent via email to Mr. Holman?
Yes.
And is there a document dated December 23rd, 2024 at 11:18 a.m. as part of exhibit number one evidencing this service by email?
That is correct.
Have you had any contact from Mr. Holman since service of this complaint and notice of hearing?
By memory, I believe I've talked to him twice by telephone. It was not necessarily in follow-up for the notice of hearing. It was me following up with him to try to find out if he had completed the assessment by the psychiatrist, the psychiatric physician and doctor.
And did he state to you any information on that particular point?
He acknowledged that he had completed the evaluation. I asked him to contact that professional and give them a release so that we could receive the results of that evaluation. He verbally confirmed that he would do that, but that never happened. We never got the results of the evaluation from Dr. Jones.
Directing your attention to exhibit number six. Is that an interim order for psychological evaluation issued by the board?
It is.
And is that the evaluation that you were talking to Mr. Holman about?
Yes.
And to date, have you received the actual evaluation from either Mr. Holman or the evaluators?
We have not.
Directing your attention to exhibit number seven. Is that an email from Mr. Holman acknowledging the requirement that he schedule and undergo a psychological evaluation?
It is.
And in your subsequent telephone discussions with Mr. Holman, did he acknowledge his awareness of that particular order for an interim evaluation?
Yes, he did. He acknowledged receipt. He told me that he was going to do it. But again, we never received the results of that evaluation.
Directing your attention again to exhibit number 6, the interim order beginning at the bottom of the first page. Does the order specifically direct that upon completion of the evaluation, the evaluator shall provide the board with a complete report of the evaluation findings? The respondent is responsible for all expenses relating to the evaluation, testing, and or treatment. The respondent shall sign a consent form to release all confidential evaluation, testing, and or treatment records to the board. Did I read that correctly?
Yes, you did. That's exactly what it states in this particular interim order.
Have you subsequently learned that even though he finished the evaluation, he has failed to meet his obligations for signing a consent to release that evaluation?
Yes, and I've had, I believe, two separate telephone conversations with Dr. Jones. He did contact an appropriate evaluator that on the list that we had sent him with his order, and Dr. Jones did subsequently confirm that he completed the evaluation, but stated that she is unable to release the evaluation to us because he has not signed the appropriate release.
Based on the documents served on Mr. Holman, his acknowledgement of receipt of those documents, your personal discussions with him, and your discussions with the evaluator, do you have any reason to believe that Mr. Holman was not aware of the fact that the board had issued an interim order for a psychological evaluation, that it was his responsibility to make sure all prerequisites to release of that evaluation report to the board were met, and that he is aware of the circumstances of today's hearing?
I have no doubt that the original allegations took place. I have no doubt that he was appropriately served the interim order and a notice of hearing. And I think it, my personal opinion is that it is his choice at this time not to be here and follow up with this hearing.
Directing your attention to exhibit number 2. Is that the complaint which got this investigation started?
Yes, it is.
And is that from Mr. Holman's employer?
Yes, it is.
Does that particular description of complaint on the second page of exhibit number 2 describe that two of his colleagues smelled alcohol in his breath, so I had him tested for cause? He blew a 0.122% on the alcohol breathalyzer, indicating he was highly impaired and under the influence of alcohol, and his employment was terminated on the spot.
Yes.
Directing your attention to exhibit number 3. And is that a document prepared by you and sent to Mr. Holman, actually describing the allegations of this complaint and asking for his response?
Yes, this is what I call the initial complaint notification, dated November 17th of 2022, which sets out the initial allegations that we received on the online portal from his employer, and then it also laundry lists possible violations of state law and rule for those allegations that we received.
Directing your attention to the third page of exhibit number 3. Does that indicate that this particular notice was sent by certified regular and electronic mail to Mr. Holman?
Yes.
Is there also proof of that electronic mail to Mr. Holman?
Yes, I have a certified mail receipt, and then I also have a copy of a email that was sent to him by electronic mail.
Directing your attention to exhibit number 4. Is that in response from Mr. Holman to the specifics of the allegations in the complaint that you sent to him?
Yes, it is.
In that response, did Mr. Holman write, I have received my certified letter in regards to my termination from Banner. I did make a terrible judgment decision with the actions I did take. I take full responsibility for my actions. Did I read that correctly?
Yes.
In conclusion, based on your investigation, your discussions with Mr. Holman, his correspondence with the board, is it your conclusion that Mr. Holman did in fact report to work on, as alleged in the complaint, under the influence of alcohol?
Yes, it is. And he in writing confirmed that 2 different times, in tab 4, exhibit number 4, and he also confirmed it in exhibit number 8, with the date of February 13th, 2024. Where he states, I know that I made a terrible mistake in my actions and decisions I made. I take full responsibility and am very humbled.
Based on the evidence that you gathered in this case, is it your request that the board affirm its summary suspension of Mr. Holman and that it take further action to revoke his license?
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Burton.
Thank you. This concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board will now hear closing arguments. Can the state have a closing argument?
No, we wouldn't.
Okay. So do I switch to the motion to leave or no? Not yet. Continue.
It's an appropriate question for Mr. Pulver.
Motion to leave.
Would you repeat the question again? I noticed that member Brimhall is off. Do you still have a quorum?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to be certain. Would you repeat your question? I apologize for.
That's okay. My question is not the evidentiary portion of the hearing may be moved to the motion?
To Dean, yes, you can do that if you so desire to do that.
Okay. A motion to deem allegations admitted was filed by the state and a copy mailed to the respondent and exhibit last known address of record with the board. In the state's motion, it states that the complaint and notice of hearing was mailed to the respondent and exhibit last known address. 30 days passed and no answer was filed by the respondent. Does the state wish to make an argument?
Only that we would affirm that the complaint was sent to his last known address. There has been no answer filed, and so pursuant to statute, we believe that he has, by default, admitted the allegations in the complaint.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion granting or denying the state's motion to deem allegations admitted?
This is Vice Chairman Crawford. I move to grant the state's motion to deem the allegations admitted.
And do we have a second? I can second that. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to grant the state's motion to deem allegations admitted. Do we have any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Is there a motion to adopt findings of fact and conclusion of law?
Vice Chairman Crawford, I move that we adopt the factual allegations in the complaint that was appearing assigned to the facts and the alleged violation of the complaint that was appearing in concluding law.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
I'm sorry, who was the second?
Kimberly.
Board Member Cota.
Cota, thank you. Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Brimholt.
Aye.
Member Merrill.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. And is there a motion regarding an order of discipline in this matter?
This is Vice Chairman Crawford. I propose the following discipline as an order in this matter, which would include revocation of license check.
Okay, we have a motion for revocation. Do we have a second? I can second that. We have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Brenholt.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, this concludes the matter. An order will be prepared by staff and mailed to the respondent and the AAG. Thank you, everybody, for your help in this formal hearing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, the board is going to move on to item 10, which has initial review consideration of consolidation and action of investigation and allegations of unconventional process. And we will start with A, and the board will call the case of Voice Gamers, case 2025-RCE-0005. And I believe this gamer is here today. If you can go up to the table, please.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, John, we'll start with you.
Good morning. Thank you for coming down today. Appreciate it. This is case number 2025-RCE-0005 involving RCP Grace Gaynor. RCP Gaynor has been licensed with us since January 5th of 2022. Last reported employer that we had or have is Wickenburg Community Hospital. We didn't have no complaint history, and there's no public criminal history found when I searched. The allegation in this case is that RCP Gaynor practiced professional respiratory care on an expired license. RCP Gaynor submitted a late renewal application on January 17th of 2025. Our records indicate that her license expired on January 9th of 2025. In her renewal application, she appropriately disclosed 4 days or shifts of working. Without being licensed, she appropriately responded within the correct time and stated that basically this is her first year of renewing her license. She's had licenses in many other states, and she contacted the board as soon as she realized her error and reported it, which is true. And she also confirmed that she had worked without a license. She is in compliance now. And I don't have anything further to add.
Okay, thank you. Do you have anything additional
to add to this? Can you
explain to me how we got here today?
The board has a statement. Board members, any questions?
I am concerned that RCP Gaynor has worked 4 days without a license. It is well known in statute in our rules that your license expires every 2 years on your birthday. It is the RCP's responsibility to ensure that license is renewed and in good standing before being signed check. I see that this is the first renewal for this practitioner. I would motion for a letter of concern. The concern being that RCP Gaynor worked on an expired license.
Is that a motion?
Sorry. Yes.
Okay, so we have a motion for a letter of concern. Do we have a second to that?
My second.
And we have a motion and a second for a letter of concern. Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion carries.
RCP Gaynor, do you know what a, and not trying to, do you know what a letter of concern is? Do you want me to explain? So do you want me to explain it real, to you real quick? A letter of concern is a non-disciplinary action. It's basically like a letter of warning or advisory letter saying, don't let this happen again. And if it happens again in the future, could lead to a disciplinary action. So it's not a dismissal, but it's just a warning letter. Please renew your license on time. Okay. You have any questions?
No.
Are you sure?
I think it's very clear.
Okay.
I received my letter.
Okay.
From the board in the first place.
Thank you for being here.
We appreciate your help. Thank you.
The board will call the case of Tia Perry, case 2025-RCE-0006. And the case has been called, or you don't have to stay. You're welcome to leave.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Which case are we doing?
Tia Perry, 2025-RCE-0006.
Thank you. This is a case of involving the allegation of unlicensed activity. It involves RCP Tia Perry, holds license number 11382. Looks like this license was originally issued on September 16th of 2014, and that license is currently set to expire on December 31st of 2026. Last reported employer that we have is Abrazo. RCP Perry submitted a late renewal application on January 20th of 2025. Her license expired on December 31st of 2024. She disclosed in her renewal application that she had worked four shifts on the expired license. She did appropriately respond to the initial allegation within the required time frame. And she stated in her response, unfortunately, my license expired because I completely overlooked the renewal date. At my previous employer, we were accustomed to receiving reminders about upcoming expirations, but this employer doesn't pursue that practice. While I realize it is ultimately my responsibility to keep track of my professional credentials, the lack of reminders contributed to this oversight. She takes full ownership of the situation, is she took immediate steps to rectify the issue. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions.
Can you tell me again with the initial license?
24th, September 16th of 2014, I believe.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for being here today. Do you have anything to add, anything to say?
No, my statement covered it. I completely forgot.
Okay. Board members, questions, thoughts?
Just a point of conversation and perhaps a future. I'm concerned that we have managers or directors or leaders of departments leasing practitioners on schedule when their license has been expired. And I'm wondering if the board needs to inquire with those department heads about how that happens.
Mr. Vice President, members of the board has full purview of any licensed respiratory therapist. Over the years, dating myself, going back to 2010, 2012, the board had a policy in place where if we got a allegation of unlicensed activity, we would open a complaint against the supervisor as well as the RCP, and we would investigate both. Over that time frame, the board changed that policy and adopted it's the respiratory therapist's responsibility, and that's why we only open that case against the RT at this point in time. Staff will investigate the case against a director or supervisor if we receive that direction. We could handle it two different ways. The board by vote could establish a substantive policy statement if we want to start looking at that.
would be a separate agenda item on a future meeting. Staff could bring you a policy, you could review that, and then the board as a whole could decide whether or not we want to start doing that. In this particular fact pattern or any other one that we're looking at today, the board could also by vote say staff open a separate investigation against that director or supervisor, and see if that allegation rises to the level of some type of action. So you have the ability to do it either way. Staff is willing and able to execute the directive from the board.
And my only thought is that while I agree that the RCPs, I think that I'm 100% supportive of that, I just question if there's perhaps some process improvement opportunities on the management side. And so I would be in favor of bringing back or developing a policy that inquires with the respiratory leader. But that's just my thoughts.
I don't know. I really see it as the RCP's responsibility to make sure they maintain their own license, especially if it's not a first critical. She's 10 years deep into this.
Oh, I agree. It's their responsibility, but they were also put on the schedule.
Yeah.
Okay. Regarding this case, thank you for the clarification. Regarding this case, I'm going to motion that this is the first offense for RCP's primary in regards to the fire license. There's no other. No other.
Correct.
I'm going to motion that we issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern that RCP primary worker don't use on its fire license.
Okay, so we have a motion for a letter of concern. Do we have a second to that?
I second that.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming down today and participating. Letter of concern, same thing. Did you hear my explanation? Good luck out there.
We will call the case of Michelle Nemec, case 2025-RCE-0002. And Michelle is not in the courtroom or the boardroom here. Is she online? Michelle, are you online? Okay.
As soon as I find it, which section it is?
104.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number 2025-RCE-0002 involving RCP Michelle Nemec. Holds license number 12501. That license was originally issued on August 24th of 2017 and is currently set to expire on January 5th of 2025. Last reported employer that I have is Hacienda Healthcare. Looks like we do have a complaint history. However, no criminal history found on file. RCP Nemec. I'm not getting that right. Can you? Submitted a late renewal application on January 6th of 2025. Her license had expired the day before. When she submitted the renewal application, she was deficient five live hours of continuing education, and she was notified of that on January 6th. The respiratory therapist called on January 9th, inquiring about the status for her license renewal. She stated she did not see the deficiency notice and disclosed that she had worked one shift on expired license, which would have been on January 8th. She did respond to the initial allegation within the appropriate time, and she states, it had come to my attention that I worked a shift after submitting my CEUs. I thought my CEUs counted towards live credit, but since they did not, I signed up for an ACLS class to obtain the appropriate continuing education. I self-reported a shift I worked as soon as I was aware. She apologized, stating that she will keep more clear records in the future. Let me see if I can find, my memory tells me that the prior complaint was a continuing education audit some time ago, which was handled separately. I don't have anything further unless there's any questions.
Okay, thank you. And Michelle is not here today. Board members, do you have any thoughts since we can't ask questions?
Foundation motion that we issue on this hearing letter concern being that she worked on shift.
We have a motion for a letter of concern. We have a second. I will second that. We have a motion and a second for a letter of concern. Do we have any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Marilyn?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. We will move on to Section B, which is staff recommendation for non-disciplinary order of probation. We will be calling this as a block. We will be calling the case together as Sandra Klein, Judy Franklin, Nathan Smith, and Janice Williams.
A question for board staff regarding these cases. My understanding is that these are all practitioners that submitted for renewal but did not have the appropriate amount of CE and have not to date provided the board evidence of any completion of that CE.
That is correct.
Thank you. So I will make a motion that we issue a non-disciplinary order of probation for the continuing education to be completed within the next 30 days. If not, then we will move to a informal hearing.
Okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a second to that?
I'll second.
Thank you. Do we have any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. Moving on to Section C, which is staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern. We are also going to block that one and call the case of Amanda Ortiz, Richard Bryant, Sean Madnick, Joseph Miller, Danny Miller, Brenda Carter, Vanessa Treviso, Israel Iscott, and Sinjina Malmovic. Let me answer that one wrong.
So again, just for clarification from board staff, my understanding of these cases is that these are practitioners who failed the CE audit upon renewal. However, they have already provided the board sufficient evidence to be compliant with their continuing education.
That is correct.
Thank you. I will motion that we issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern, the concern being for not completing the continuing education units during the licensure period.
We have a motion. Do we have a
second?
We have a motion and a second. Who was the second?
Board Member Brimhall.
Thank you. Do we have any discussion on this one?
Please. Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. And that brings us to Section D, which is staff recommendation for dismissal. And we're going to block these and call the case of Manuel Torres Mercado, Stephanie Durante, Jane Dean, Holly Chavala, Denise Jackson, Nancy Nauman, Sherry and Spock, Jonathan Sunny, Snow Light, Jose Talua, Adele Farger, Nicholas Harvick, Sheila Mills, and Caprice Lucas. Let me make sure there's nothing on the next page. No, go to the bus.
Point of clarification for board staff. Stephanie Duarte, I do not see board materials on board regarding this commission.
I was just looking for that after the president called it. I'm not sure why they're not in your board book, but she is appropriately on a dismissal list.
We have obtained appropriate
information. Yes.
Vice Chair, I'm sorry, Madam President, members of the board, Vice Chairman Cropper, I'll make a motion to that those dismissed cases in the subsection.
Okay, so we have a motion for dismissal. Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second for dismissal. Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Aye.
Chairman Kagan.
Aye.
Member Cota.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Maryland.
Aye.
Member Moken carries.
Okay, it looks like we're moving on to number 11, which is the Executive Director's Report. You're up, sir.
The reporting is rather sparse, and there's a reason for that. We have spent an inordinate amount of time trying to get the new Centia system and database to be spitting out appropriate management reports as far as average time for investigations, timeframe reporting has been a lot more difficult than I had anticipated. So I didn't upload all the Excel spreadsheets. I will give you a general update on applications. We are issuing for new grads, people that apply, maybe a reapplication. We're issuing those applications within about 30 days. From day one hitting the front door to final approval. Kat's doing a pretty darn good job of following up. And we meet on at least a couple times a week to talk about fingerprinting and applications and so forth. So since going back a year and a half, we're doing, excuse my French, a hell of a lot better with licensing. I am comfortable with how we are processing the applications right now. As far as investigations, I think we're just about done. We've gone back to the beginning of 2022, and we've looked at every single case that hit the front door, and we still have some cases that are languishing from back in early 2022. But we've had to dig them out of the systems. So hopefully by next meeting, I will have an exact list of everything that's currently open, for you to be able to review, and then we can prioritize from there. I think we're doing a good job of prioritizing the priority one stuff, the stuff that's coming in the front door. I will tell you we might have an emergency board meeting between now and the next meeting. We got an allegation in where an RT may have slapped a patient while trying to get an ABG. Just came in. The allegation in and of itself sounds very egregious. I don't have any eyewitness reports. I haven't done any witness. I haven't talked to any witnesses yet, but we are going to do that. The hospital appropriately reported us to us within 10 days. They also reported to the police department. The respiratory therapist has already attorneyed up, and that has slowed down the process a little bit. Okay. But if we get the information in that it actually took place in some shape or form, that will be in front of you pretty darn quick. So, what else did I want to talk about? Financial report, you're doing very well. we're halfway through the year. There's about a $60,000 amount that right now we probably won't spend. And that is because you're saving money on personnel with some of the position shares with the NCIA board. So right now, as far as the appropriation, we're doing very well financially. We have a little fluff to do some more programming with between now and the end of the year. Let's see. What else did I want to talk about?
Second Investor Conference.
Yes.
The question. So I would agree that it appears financially we are doing okay. My question is as we are thinking performance of our team members, I'm questioning if it might be warranted for us to look at merit increases.
Yes, two different things. We have a compensation plan in place that allows us to do two things. We can give up to, I think it's 5% per year, in a merit bonus, which stays with the salaries for the employees. The other thing we can do is we can give spot incentives. So that's based upon evaluations. So we have two opportunities to do that, to give a spot incentive towards the end of the fiscal year. Your executive director has to get his evaluations done. And he's promised staff that he's, twice now? I promised that I would have them done twice now, and I haven't gotten them done. So usually spot incentives are closer to the year, and it can be 2% and up. I believe it's between 2 and 4% one-time spot incentive. So we are planning to do that.
It is known. Historical conversation that this board has had is had merit increases
for yep. a long, long time. That is true. And I think we're in a position now where we can start looking at it and doing it.
I just want to give accolades. You've done an amazing job with the team.
Thank you.
From where we were a year and a half ago to where we are today is my favorite. So that's because of the team that you've established.
It's because of them. I just sit back and say thank you. You know, maybe point every now and then, but they're doing a good job. And the other part of that real quick with as far as recognition is I'm getting less problem calls. The staff is handling the people on the phone, and we still get difficult calls on a weekly basis, but they're not percolating up to me, which means they're taking care of it and we're getting it done. So thank you for that. But thank you, Jocelyn, Kat, Brian. Brian keeps me out of trouble, too.
My fear is just that, you know, doing so.
So can I go to – so let me get subsection C real quick, 11C. I'm going to – well, two – yeah, I am. Two things quick. The ISA that we talked about back in September has never been officially approved. I'm telling you that so that you have the knowledge. I don't know why. My care is really starting to dwindle. But it's a money thing for your executive director. There's a difference between what the original ISA was and what you guys approved in September. I have followed up on it several times. I do not have an answer as to why it's not getting reviewed and approved. I don't know. I can't get an answer. I don't know if it's political. I don't know if it's a workload. I can't even get that answer. So basically my recommendation to you is to leave it alone. I don't want to stir up a mess at DOA or the AG's office for that matter, if that's where it's sitting. I've done a pretty good job of bugging the people that I think need to be bugged, and hopefully it'll eventually move.
Would there be any benefit to something like more leadership?
Do you have an opinion, Charlie? I'm going to put you on the spot. I don't know. You know, when we went through this in the executive session last time, you know, you had the section chief for the attorneys that represent us there. And we had HR there.
And we were told this could happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's not. All those people that we had here, and we talked about it, I've been bugging. My recommendation is just to leave it alone right now. I wish I had, I'm only telling you so because I think you need to know that it's not finalized. And I'm working on it. So, I don't, it might help to do some sort of memo from leadership just to document it. Okay. And I can help with that if you want to do that. But other than that, I don't know what's going on with it.
Does this have anything to do with subsection C?
No.
Okay.
What's subsection C?
Well,
so I did this with the NCIA board and staff, and I'm going to let you know. I've decided to retire from state government. I've put in my retirement paperwork. I'm letting you know that right now it's scheduled for July 1st. A lot of things can happen between now and then. But I'm just giving you a heads up. We will go about, staffing a board a lot differently than we did last time. I have specific recommendations for you for the interim after I'm gone to keep things rolling, that sort of thing. And we just need to do it probably closer to May, June. I've been doing, oh my gosh, I feel emotional. That's weird. I don't usually feel emotional. I don't, I've been doing state government work for like 40 years. So I started in like 1988 and quite honestly, I'm going to be 60 next year or this year. I'm ready to start slowing down a little. So that's the reason for the decision. It has nothing to do with the people, has nothing to do with the job or anything like that. I just feel it's time. So that's what, 10, about 10, 11 years on and off. So yeah, so it's been a while. I'll let you know more about that. And the transition will be, smooth this time. Okay. So I want to, and then the last thing I have, unless there's any questions on any of that, legislation. So we went through our sunset audit. Auditors are coming back in here, telling us what we're still not doing, probably within the next 2 to 3 months. Our sunset legislation was approved from the House side, for a 6-year agency renewal. The legislature is only giving out 6-year renewals to all the boards, agencies that they're looking at. So we got the best, renewal given the fact that we had a bad audit even. So, that bill is sponsored by Representative Bliss. It's out of House Health. I can think it goes to Rule and then it'll start going, being sent over to the Senate within the next 2 to 3 weeks for the same thing on that side. Another Senate hearing. I have not heard any opposition from anybody. And which is a good sign. I thought we might get a little more chatter this year, but I think there's one or two other boards that are taking the steam away from us. There's one or two other boards that are creating a lot of study committees and stuff like that within the legislature. So we're looking pretty good with that. I expect it to go through without any problems. I'm done rambling. Unless there's any questions.
Well, this is Becky. I just want to make sure that I again congratulate you and your whole team. It was nice to see something refreshing in the material of a nice acclimate to your team and the hard work that you guys have been doing. And it's definitely noticed not just by the board members, but by the community. And Jack, I'm kind of saddened to hear about your big July 1st day, but I would pat you on the back walking out the door today.
Thank you, Becky. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's gonna be a rough day for us.
Well, I think Board Member Brimhall was actually on the board when I first got here.
That is correct.
So
we begin and we end.
How appropriate.
That's right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Okay. That brings us on to the next section, which is future dates and or future items and meeting dates. And we have March 20th, and April 17th, and May 15th, with a possible emergent meeting coming up before March 20th, which I hope that we do see that before the 20th.
I'm not sure we're going to have enough work for March right now. Okay. So I will let you know, but we may not have a March meeting, but we may have a teleconference between now and April.
Perfect. That would be
wonderful.
Okay.
Can I do my quick gig for the call to public?
We already did the call to public.
I know. Can we just do it real quick again?
Sure.
Does anybody have any questions for the board? Are you all here for CE?
Yeah.
How's everything going out in the industry? What did you learn today? Anything?
I learned to keep my CEUs current. The last meeting I went to, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, it was a problem back then. Well, I noticed that. I've been an artist since 1980, and I've never let my CEUs lapse. And I guess it's just discipline, but I think people need to understand the importance of it. You value your license. And I want to make sure that I comply, you know, in the professional way that the board wants me.
I wish I heard that from more RTs.
I was just going to say, you know, put you on a poster.
Everybody take this back to their employer and spread that message about continuing education. It's the number one violation. It's the number one thing that will get you in a twist with the board right now. And just the fact that you're here getting some continuing education is a sign on the wall. So thank you.
I come to learn.
Yeah. Good.
I try to take good information.
That's awesome. Anything else going on out in the industry the board needs to hear about? No? Thank you all. Appreciate that.
Kat, if you will call roll, please.
Kent Fairchild. Paul Icky. Paul Icky. Rachel. Greg.
You can say your name.
We're just taking
off.
I'll make sure you're still here.
Great. And then,
Saeed.
Okay, perfect.
Excellent. Okay, and this meeting is adjourned at 10:31.
Thank you, everybody, for attending online. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
That FYI, if we do have a March meeting.
Hey, Kat, do you have Tara built in for continuing education? She is online?
Yeah, I'm on Zoom. Hi.
I just saw your message. Thank you. Okay, let me give you the info. First name is T.A. Just write it down. T-A-H-R-A, last name Bilton, B-I-L-T-O-N. Anybody else online for CE? Okay, we got that, Tara. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay.